looks like we got another caller here. We've got John in Canada. I'm going to try and bring him up here. John, are you with me?
Matt.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, you're sounding pretty good there, buddy. Yeah, you know what? These are a bunch of psychopathic mass murderers that believe that we will not form, be able to form a public consensus on their for sure guilt. You know, Jim McLeshevsky was provided the top secret presidential directive war strategy on how to invade Afghanistan, dated 2 days prior to 9/11, coming from Condoleezza Rice's very desk. These characters, there's solid evidence indicating who needs to be arrested for sure, and then as investigations would continue, we would arrest the remaining culprits. But it should be understood that Bush closed all police investigations through the FBI from pursuing the actual culprits responsible, him and Cheney. You know, they don't want to use evidence to form our conclusions because we would nab themselves, particularly Bush for obstruction. You can't say that the FBI is not going to pursue the bad guys, and that's what he did. He's so diabolically evil, people psychologically can't deal with the reality. But Condoleezza Rice, she was interviewed by the Washington Post prior to the revelation being made that the plan came from her desk, and she said, oh, we had no plans to invade Afghanistan or nothing like that at all. And Armitage came forward and said, oh, yeah, sure we did. Yeah, we did. But the plan itself is premised on blaming Bin Laden, a terrorist, and providing no evidence to back up the allegation. And this was due to experiences that occurred during the Clinton administration, because during the Clinton administration, the Taliban said, okay, look, we want to be your friend, America. We'll hand Bin Laden over to you immediately. Do you want him, Mr. Clinton? And Mr. Clinton said, sure, I'll be a big hero. And he said, okay, just give us any kind of evidence at all, shoplifting, a hair fiber, for any of these allegations you said he's done, and we'll hand him over pronto. And Clinton couldn't give anything, not from the FBI, not from the CIA, in respect to any of these allegations that have been levied against him. And then they said, well, we're Muslim fundamentalists. We can't willingly persecute a person that would only be understood as innocent. So they already knew that this was a fundamentalist belief of the Taliban. So it's Condoleezza Rice's strategy to don't give them any evidence, close investigations immediately, have none of the 19 hijackers associated to Al-Qaeda in any way whatsoever, you know, like you're saying. If they're associated to anything, it's being trained at military bases. So she needs to be seriously arrested for mass murder against America's interests, and sort of Bush for obstruction, so we can get the officers back on the job to put these guys rightly where they belong, you know, behind
somebody
bars that are, you know.
Somebody brought that to her attention and actually started to imply that you could, Ms. Rice, you're actually breaking the law here. And her response was very typical of tyrants when they get in this situation. I was just following orders. And, you know, I mean, they just passed the buck.
Yeah, well, you see that there's a form of control happening right now regarding the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, as Fox News and a number of other outlets have been reporting these last couple of days. Oh, well, this is terrible. We shouldn't be giving him the same protections that we afford ourselves. But really, this is the problem. If you deny justice to the Taliban, who simply asked for evidence linking Laden to 9/11 and then said, well, we're not going to do that because that's only treating them justly, we undermine justice for ourselves because you're not seeking out the true culprits responsible. I mean, it's a really super simple idea, but yet we were hijacked that way. Of evil itself. You know, Bush said, we're either with him or we're with the terrorists, but he's giving you no evidence to form your own mind. You know, and if you try to form your own mind and form a different conclusion, you're no longer with him. You're a terrorist.
That's right.
A terrorist for being a free individual to discern a person's guilt or innocence for something. And like you say, the torture and all these other crimes. And I know I can convince anybody on earth, including all soldiers I've ever talked to, which is a fair amount, nobody sides with this demon monster. It's just our inabilities to address ourselves as the public because we have no real leadership present. We have people that kind of are, but, you know, they're falling massively short in all kinds of ways. But I think the biggest problem we have right now is people are just compelled through ego or the way we've been developed thus far socially is we're always looking for ways to divide people, eh? And it's just this ego thing, I think. And if we could just, you know, I don't care if you're an atheist or a religious person or what, even a communist or whatever you are, as long as you're not infringing on our freedoms and breaking the law, then you've got no problems. You shouldn't have a problem with any of us. It's we want to isolate specific individuals who are criminally complicit for offenses against our interests. And like I say, if we get the FBI back on the job, like again, there's FBI officers who say they've been forbidden to pursue the culprits or they're risking a jail time themselves. So we got to reopen that hole. We got to break that wide open so it's disclosed nationally. But that's the thing. Oracle's fantastic, but we can't have this kind of discussion on CNN where we should be, or on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. They always want to create doubt, and they won't cover, you know, like they won't talk about liquefied iron flowing from the tower like water because it's indisputable. And therefore, guaranteed somebody set explosives in the towers prior to them collapsing. So how did Bin Laden do that with his dialysis machine going up and down not being seen by anyone?
I bring up a great point, too. The dialysis, I mean, how does a 6'5" Arab guy on the run, number one wanted terrorist in the world, live for that long on kidney dialysis when I've had friends and family who didn't make it, you know, 7 years, who died, who had the best medical treatment they could possibly get here in the United States, and they died because of the dialysis? It's just impossible.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And even if he somehow did, he would have had to have had accomplices. And by Bush, even if you believe the lies and you're brainwashed Fox News junkie, even if you believe the lies, are you saying Bin Laden had no accomplices whatsoever? Because Bush closed investigations, man. You know, no matter who you are or what political philosophy you follow, even the most ignorant of them all, you can't get beyond that. You know, how do you excuse Bush's behavior in not seeking out who's truly responsible? And yet that's what he did. You know, I call him the Antichrist for good reason. You know, that's so diabolically evil. It's just unbelievable. I know of nothing in history that's anywhere near that except maybe in 1074 with Gregory the Seventh, but that's another story. But he has really undermined our ability to defend ourselves, and all these guys think they're just going to do it because Fox News ain't going to take our calls, or they're going to try not to take our calls. But the truth is getting out there, and people are starting to understand. And I'm hoping that justice will prevail sooner than later. But
I agree, and I will say this: I mean, the fact that there's no accountability, America must be hypnotized with failure because no accountability whatsoever. Doesn't even matter. If it was something that was natural like Katrina or whatever, just no accountability. So even if it does come out, even like with the banker bailout, 100-1 against it, all the people writing and calling their Congress, didn't matter. They did it. They're at the point now where they don't care. They're just going to throw it in our face, and they're going to continue to expand the war, and we're going to run a guy who says he's going to end the war, but he's going to expand the war. So it's just part of the course.
It is most definitely hypnosis. Overman, who I've liked a lot of the things he's done, particularly on the Tea Party, did a story the other day where he says, well, you know, the majority of the people knew we had to bail out the bankers or else the economy would have tanked. And that's just a lie. You know, and that's this is the form of hypnosis, is that you go, well, he's the opposition. He's the good guy. And he does a lot of good stuff. But yet he'll still be there, you know, because there's no basis to bail out a banker because they don't cover our loans as it is anyway. And the, you know, it's a discussion that lasts at least 10 minutes. But, I mean, you know, where did the money go? Why are all the banks tanked? Because they did all this fraud and left us with empty vaults and then said, please give us money because there's no credit. Well, they don't give us – they're not responsible for credit anyway. If anything, it's 1 out of 100 they cover, as was reported by PBS just like last week. And even that, at that time, J.P. Morgan had more than $1 trillion in capital. All the commercial – the credit unions all had lots of money. There was money to borrow. It's just that they knew that they were, they're just robbing us blind. There's no accountability, like you say, but we do have the intellect, because, like you said, 100-1. People were all opposed to it, and yet still we're told that, oh, no, we all agreed to that. Similarly with invading Afghanistan, I remember the same kind of pronouncements were happening. Well, we all know it's right to bomb Afghanistan. That's the just war, the right war. We all know that. And no, we don't know that. Nobody knows that. There's no evidence. We want to support apprehending the actual bad guys, actually. But they'll spend all the time demonizing the Taliban to say, if you support justice, that means you support the Taliban. Well, you support the Taliban's position. It's like saying, you're a Marxist. Well, is it because I believe in holding the door open for little old ladies? Because what you know, that you're not isolating specifically what it is to be a Marxist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really screwing around with people's minds right here, and everybody's going, oh, am I supposed to hate you now? Well, I'm just saying that we don't have... We're not getting more deep. We're not going deeper into it. And if we go deeper into it, it takes more time. You have to be more informed. And what Fox News tell us, Al Qaeda did it. You don't need any more thinking.
Yeah, just want you to talking points. Yeah. I tell you what, John. I appreciate the call, man. I'm coming up on the end of the show here, but I always appreciate the call, John. Call back in.
These are bills of attainder, as accorded the Constitution, and any law that's designed to steal from the citizens of this country is considered a bill of attainder, and the Constitution specifically forbids bills of attainder. So, how have we gotten here? Well, it's been a tremendous subterfuge, and it all goes back to this 1932 crisis, and of course, we're going through crisis after crisis now. They're trying to create a lot more crises because this is the planned collapse of the American economy and the American decline, as I've described it in Shadows of Power, the Council on Foreign Relations. And of course, the Council on Foreign Relations is behind, they're the puppeteer behind the, you know, they're the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain who's pulling the strings. All right, I'm going to shut up for a minute, and I'm going to listen to John in Canada. John, are you with me?
Hey, Phil.
Good morning, John. How goes it?
It goes pretty good. The show's sounding pretty phenomenal, all kinds of interesting info. I was hoping I could talk to you quickly about two issues that I'd like you to consider. I'm not disagreeing with you in any real way. I'm just sort of moving some of these pieces around a little bit. Like you said, incredibly, the creditor, so they claim, is the Federal Reserve. But let's not forget, it's the Treasury that acquiesces their authority to take the request from the Federal Reserve to mint the money. The Treasury
Hold on. The Treasury now is the debtor in possession of the United States of America. He's the bankruptcy trustee for the creditor. So remember, Secretary of the Treasury is the bankruptcy trustee.
Okay, so my position here is to consider that the loan or the debt or the credit that's issued by the Federal Reserve is instituted through the will of the American public, as you've covered, that the credit truly is of the American people. It's not of these private individuals that have hoodwinked us this way. So the loan initiates from the Treasury. So the national debt can be considered how much money is owed to the American people from the private banksters, because the money initially comes through the acquiescence of the authority of the American public to mint up $1,000 bills for, like you say, 3 cents. So, and then, so something you want to roll around and consider in different ways. You know, all we got to look at is these guys are walking away with trillions of dollars. You know, you're not doing anything for us, and yet you get all our money, and we got to keep continually paying you for money you never covered to begin with. You know, this is the madness of bailing out these shysters, because they don't cover our credit as it is. They don't even, you know, they don't cover the loans. And meanwhile, J.P. Morgan had more than $1 trillion throughout the entire so-called crisis, and all kinds of credit unions had tons of cash, too. The only reason it was frozen, the credit market, was because all this crime is going unattended to with our police services. You know, in Canada, for example, our corporate crime division was completely dissolved. You don't even have a crime division anymore. And the other point I wanted to make is the caller that you had before, Michael, who was saying, it'd be good if we could get some hard evidence. And, of course, you've been talking about hard evidence. It's just we've got to realize a lot of people would have a very difficult time with this subject matter. However, for hard, solid evidence, we got Elizabeth Warren, who's the chairwoman of the Congressional Oversight Panel, the COP. She's the top cop monitoring what happened with the TARP funds. And, of course, her questions weren't answered satisfactorily, so she hired an independent auditor to come in and look at the books for herself. And guess what? You might not many people aren't aware of this, that the independent auditor found out there was massive criminal fraud. You were supposed to be getting a dollar's worth of stock for the dollar that was expended, and these fraudsters had given her fraudulent numbers, giving you only 66 cents for every dollar that was given to them, and then it fell even further. But there was fraud right there, rock solid. She's got the paperwork, and yet nobody's being arrested. And, you know, these guys are robbing us blind. And well, like you say,
you're absolutely right, John.
They're just hoodwinking us this way. We think magically that, well, of course, we've got to pay the banker back for money they lent us, but it never really came of our own, you know, our own authority that's been hijacked from the Constitution that says it's only through the Congress that this power should be exercised.
John, we got to go to commercial again. I want to respond to everything you just said. You're absolutely right, and we need to turn this around and look at it from a rational standpoint. You've been listening to Positively Unconstitutional. I'm Phil Pozderek. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. I'm Phil Pozderek, and we've been talking with John in Canada. And John has brought out some interesting points. We have to look at this from different perspectives. You know, we can find rampant corruption and fraud, you know, directly, you know, everywhere we look. And yet our regulators and our police, you know, they can't see it. So we have to wake them up to it. And that's where we're at right now. We've got a complete takeover of the federal government by the Federal Reserve Bank. In fact, as I've called it before, it's an unholy marriage between government and the Federal Reserve Bank. And the 1913 Federal Reserve Act effectively was a coup d'etat. It took over the government. And I've heard it said that, you know, imagine Rockefeller has $1 billion in his bank account, and his chauffeur is driving him down the road, and he tells the chauffeur that, oh, you can have my bank account. Here's the checkbook. Spend it for whatever you like, as long as you agree to lend me some of my money back whenever I need it. And this is what the government's done. They've given all the assets of the United States to the Federal Reserve Bank through this bankruptcy. And they've set up the Treasury of the United States to be the debtor in possession of the bankrupt United States. And, of course, the Federal Reserve Bank has repeatedly raped the American people through the use of the interest rate and the business cycle, which, of course, it was their mandate to stabilize the economy, eliminate the business cycle, and stabilize the currency. And, of course, we've seen a 96% or so depreciation in the currency over the last 96 years or so. And it's total fraud. Now, what people don't, most people don't understand how money is created, John. And just for their benefit, I'm going to just say the Secretary of the Treasury gets out a piece of paper and he prints a pretty picture on it, and he writes bond on it, and he puts a dollar amount at the top, $100 million. And he hands this debt instrument, which has an interest rate of about 4% and has a AAA rating by the rating agencies, he hands this over to the Federal Reserve Bank. Now, the Federal Reserve Bank then hires the Treasury as their printer, who prints up $100 million in bills, and that money goes into the circulation. Now, the central bank has in its hand this T-bill or T-bond, which they then sell to foreign investors, and they receive the 4% coupon, not the federal government. Also, people need to understand that your income taxes don't go to the federal government to pay bills. It goes to pay the interest on the debt that the federal government owes to the creditor, the Federal Reserve Bank. So all your taxes, they don't go to provide services. They go to pay the debt. Now, back in September of 2008, during the collateralized debt obligation crash and the freeze of the credit markets, what we saw effectively was a bankruptcy of the Federal Reserve Bank. So instead of the Federal Reserve Bank coming to, you know, the lender of last resort, the American people, and groveling on their hands and knees and saying, oh, we need a loan of $765 billion to bail out the banks, otherwise we're going to have, you know, economic chaos. No, they didn't do that at all. They acted like terrorists. They came in and they coerced a unit of the government. They coerced the Congress of the United States. Now, the Congress of the United States has a fiduciary obligation to the people, and they totally just missed their opportunity to take control of the Federal Reserve Bank back. Why? Because they're the lender of last resort, the American people. And with any loan of a bankrupt company, what you'll find when you go to the bank is the bank's going to ask for additional collateral. Well, we're the bank. How come our Congress didn't ask for additional collateral? I'd have been happy if they'd have taken the stock of the, which pays a 6% coupon, by the way, of the Federal Reserve Bank. And there's only about 100,000 owners of the Federal Reserve Bank. And yet they continue to get this, you know, interest payment. And, you know, the more money they loan, the bigger the payment is. So you can see that it's a self-serving interest here. My point is that if the Congress would have said, hey, we'll loan you that money, but since you're bankrupt, you'll have to pay 29.9% interest, just like all other bankrupt people get credit from their credit card company. And, of course, you'll have to have a schedule of repayment for this debt, you know, let's say 5 years, principal and interest monthly. You know, so the minute you give them $100 billion, the next month they owe $10 billion plus interest. And the effect of this will be that, It will drain all the money out of the coffers of the Federal Reserve Bank and put it back where it belongs in the federal government of the United States to pay for goods and services. Now, instead of working for the bank works for you, and all the money they collect has to be paid on the loans that they've made. Now, how can it be any other way? The United States government owns the assets. They own the United States of America. This is the most valuable asset in the entire world. They own all the homes. They own all the businesses. They have the ability to tax. And yet, we've let a group of 100,000 people, mostly foreigners, control all our money and credit. It's absolutely unconscionable. This is it's absolutely diabolical. It's the most unholy marriage of all time. I'm through with my rant. John, are you still with me?
I am. You know, this is, like I say, it's, you know, not so easy. You know, but, you know, they've taken this money, too, and used it against ourselves. I mean, they don't even give out loans. They can be held responsible for everybody losing their homes. And just to imagine, you know, you've got a mortgage. You paid 15 years on it. And who knows, you know, $100,000 of your life or more has gone into this investment. And now the banks have... dollars from the street. They're not giving out any more loans. You got to still make payments plus interest to them. And we got less and less dollars, so more and more people lose their houses. I want all these people to get their homes back. You know, imagine you've spent 15 years putting money into this. The banker never covered. And then they take the house from you, and you don't get any money back. And now you're living on the street. And, well, that's not fair.
Well, and when you consider that, you know, the Federal Reserve Bank didn't put up any money at all. They didn't put up anything of value. You know, somebody went out and spent his life to build that home. Then somebody else buys the home. And the effect, when you sign your mortgage, you know, they open an account and they create this money out of thin air. There was never any money there. They just open an account. They put a number in the account. They ship it to the builder who built the house and supposedly pay him. Of course, there's no pay involved because, you know, this is negative money. This is debt.
Well,
this is the credit of another person.
Yeah, that does eat into our lives too, though. Like a lot of people, like you say, like you can think about it as worthless. But then, in a sense, it is also worth something because it devalues everybody else's dollars in their back pockets. You know, if they manufacture just trillions and trillions of dollars, well, you're going to create inflation. So it actually it does eat away at us also. You know, the conditions of them having more and more and more and more.
Well.
I don't know. I'm confusing myself. But like I say, all I know for sure is they're walking away with all our money and our homes.
The fact of the matter is that this, without any question, imposes a condition of involuntary servitude. It's slavery.
Yes.
Why is it slavery? Because we were not apprised of the contract that we've supposedly entered into. And how have we entered into this contract? Well, we've entered into this contract through every statute and every privilege that were granted.
Piracy. It's a piracy. They've hijacked our authority.
Absolutely. Did you know that when your birth certificate is issued, it's issued by the U.S. Department of Commerce? Because you're owned like a cow or a sheep or a pig. And this is why the government can forcibly vaccinate you. Why? They have to, as the debtor in possession of the bankrupt United States, they're required to protect the collateral. And we're the collateral. We're the chattel. We're the sheep. We're the pigs. We're the goats. We're the cows that's going to pay this money back. We're going to be sold to pay this money back. And the creditor wants to keep us healthy so we can keep working for him. So
yeah.
This is how they're able to forcibly vaccinate anybody they want.
Mm-hmm. It's a sickness, too, because some of these guys have more than $1 trillion in personal assets, and they've never bought or sold anything. They've just gotten into the market with a special license to trade things with a computer, as Goldman Sachs has been found out doing, but also other special privileged families. And Frontline covered this a year or so back, showing this guy living in something like a 50,000 square foot Italian marble mansion with more than $1 trillion that came out of all those policemen pensions. You know, all our pensions are in this one guy's pocket because he's got special privileges that me and you can't exercise. And it's immoral, and it is criminal in so many different ways, particularly with the derivatives being completely unregulated. And you get quotes from different people, eh? Some people say there's, you know, multiples of quadrillions, and we know that investment bankers would trade these derivatives back and forth amongst themselves and pay themselves commissions, as we had with Bear Stearns, that went bankrupt with $77 trillion in derivatives. You know, they go belly up with all, everybody's money's gone, but for these pieces of paper that say $77 trillion, not really worth $77 trillion. They'll be stupid. But they walk away with all our money, and we're left with this phony derivative scam that's still going unaddressed. We had somebody make some presentations to Congress, and he was censored. They say, you shut your mouth. We're removing your comments from the official recording, and you get out of here right now. And he was interviewed on Democracy Now! A couple of days ago. I mean, these guys know they're criminals, and they know they're trying to make their escape. And I don't think they're going to get away with it. I think we're going to communicate well enough to understand we're not going to put up with this any longer, because these are our families. These are our friends. And
look,
I think
Look at the effect of, Urban Renewal Act and these CDOs and all these no paperwork loans that were made. The true effect of this is that the federal government, these government enterprises, these GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they foreclosed on 3 million homes. They own 3 million homes. Now, what you have to understand is the Communist Manifesto specifically says that all rents should go for a public purpose. Well, the only way a rent can go for a public purpose is if the federal government owns the property. And so what have they done? Well, they and the Federal Reserve Bank have conspired to go out there and acquire all these houses by fraudulent means.
Yeah.
They didn't have any money. They created the money out of thin air, and then they sold these investments, these CDOs, which were based on the mortgages to foreigners, to collect more money so that they could pump more money into the market so they could inflate the price of the houses so more Americans would lose. And the net effect is more and more of the property of the United States is owned directly by the federal government. It's the end of private property in the United States. This is the Communist Manifesto at work. This is a controlled design collapse of the economy of the United States. How do we know this? Well, people have written about it since 1980. You can go out and read Dr. John Chapman's book. It's called The Committee of 300. And it explains who runs the world, how they got in control of the world through their drug trade in China, and how they've got all this money and control all the financial institutions around the world, and how they use that power. And the effect of it is that they are entered into a design, controlled, calculated, Senator Lindbergh back in 1917 said that economic panics now are created with mathematical precision. So, I mean, they know how to inflate the currency. They know how to raise the interest rate and gobble up everybody's work after the fact. They know that their currency puts a lien on everything everywhere. And, of course, the government's totally complicit. I mean, you know, there's so many things that you can point to. Look at the Social Security. I mean, they've gone ahead and stole $4.5 trillion from the Social Security Trust Fund.
Yeah.
I mean, trust fund. Any person who runs a trust fund has a fiduciary obligation.
Oh,
when he steals the money out of the trust fund and can't pay it back, usually he ends up under the jail.
Yeah, I've been saying that for 10 years, my friend. You know, it's less than 2%. In addition to that, a trust fund that gets less than 2% with more than $1 trillion held in deposits, but of course it's been eaten away probably completely by now. But I mean, you know, Bush, for example, he took $700 billion out of there, but so did, you know, all the other presidents back two or three, I guess, starting I think with his father, or maybe with Reagan.
I'll give you a little statistic. Did you know that President Barack Obama, in his first 11 months in office, has deficit spent more than all previous presidents combined?
I can imagine. I mean, they're trying to run. They're trying to escape right now, and they shouldn't be able to get away with it. We have laws on the books to get them for fraud. I mean, so with the subprime mortgage securities, for example, they would bundle these people's mortgages and sell them off to foreign investors or whatever, and lose track of the titles to the property, but yet still demand payment due. And when some people would go to court to challenge it, They go out, well, how can this bank prove that they hold the mortgage on this house if they sold it already? And, of course, some people would be granted to keep their homes because the bank can't prove that they hold it. But I can't remember the individual, but he was talking about a law that had been introduced that's, I guess, on the books now that you might be aware of, where in court now the bank doesn't have to prove that they own the house or they hold the mortgage or have any paperwork whatsoever. They can just take it from you. Well, that's called a criminal theft. And they go, oh, it doesn't matter. We got laws on the books for it. No, it's still a criminal theft. They don't own that property.
Again, what they've done and how they're able to do this is you don't go to a court of the United States. You go to a court of the Admiralty, and the reason you're in the court of the Admiralty is because everything that you purchased, you know, you paid for your house in Federal Reserve notes. So there, again, is an implied lien there. And the currency, the medium of exchange in the court of the Maritime and courts of the Admiralty, and so this is not a theft. This is a hypothecation during time of war. We're in a crisis, in a time of war. We're at sea, and the captain of the ship, he can tell you what you can and cannot say, and he can tell you to walk the plank after he provides his evidence, and you really don't have any say. This is the effect of traffic court that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You walk into the traffic court, and you're in a criminal court.
Yeah.
And, again, the Supreme Court has said your right can't be converted into a privilege, your right can't be converted into a crime, and yet this is exactly what they've done. They've converted all your rights into privileges. I mean, can you imagine 500 years ago, license to cut a person's hair? I mean, it's totally beyond, you know, imagination that you have to have a cosmetology license to cut another person's hair legally. I mean, it's absolute ludicrous, insane.
Yeah, it wouldn't fly on as a public stump speech. The person who would hold that would lose. And that's what I'm saying. The public's going to become aware of this and say, no, we're not going that way. Thank you very much. We don't all want to be cheated out of our fair rights here and privileges to be respected. You know, these guys, they're not going to escape, my friend. We're getting all our homes back, and we're going to get our stolen money back, and some people are going to go to prison, and a glorious new day will shine for us all.
All right, I get a phone call right now. We've got John from Canada, and he is probably the most intelligent man in the community without a radio talk show. But let's go to him right now. Always love hearing from John. John, you got us on the line. How are you tonight?
Hey, Rob, I'm doing pretty good. I don't know if I'm all that good, but I'm not too bad. You know, I'm looking at what rights we have here to treat ourselves equitably, and we're being forsaken all over the place. Like you were saying, we're living in a kind of tyranny here, slavery. If we understood how banks operate, when they give out credit, it's in our authority. But they've hoodwinked us there because it's a difficult concept for everybody to grasp onto, that it's in a public authority, but they've made it into their private business. So it's truly our credit, but they say, no, we got to pay them back for money they never lent us to begin with.
Yes.
Or as Bill Moyers covers a little while ago on PBS, you know, they're obligated theoretically to cover 1/100th of the loan through the fractional reserve system that's so messed up right now. That's what we have.
Yep.
They're walking away with our lives, and I don't know if it's necessary. I know there's aspects to what you're saying I do agree to, where you're talking about, you know, there are people in control making these decisions, and we're left without leadership to communicate, you know, how to better serve ourselves, again, fairly, equitably. But it's, you know, it's the loss everywhere. Like in Iraq, for example, prior to the bombing campaign's beginning, the depositor was the shareholder. So you didn't have all these magical people in a second-tiered system that just suck up all the blood from our communities and leave us just enough to hang on for dear life. So that's what they had then. Then they bombed the place, and the IMF came in and said, well, we just gave Alawi, I think it was $600 million, and he signed over all the rights of Iraq to us. So now we're going to run the banking system, and the first law is never allow you to do that again. We're going to control credit here. You guys aren't going to be smart enough to do that again.
So, John, we have a break coming up here, and I want to keep you on because I definitely did not have a chance to talk enough with you, and I want to hear more. But, you know, you're absolutely right. One of the actual commonalities between Iraq and Afghanistan was they didn't have a central banking system that was part of the international banking settlements. One of the first things they did in Afghanistan, one of the first things they did in Iraq is install that banking system and took over that control of the issuance of currency. But stay right there, John. I want to continue this conversation. A lot more on the way here on Axiom Radio, folks. Don't go anywhere.
All right. I get a phone call right now. We've got John from Canada, and he is probably the most intelligent man in the community without a radio talk show. But let's go to him right now. Always love hearing from John. John, you got us on the line. How are you tonight?
Hey, Rob, I'm doing pretty good. I don't know if I'm all that good, but I'm not too bad. You know, I'm looking at what rights we have here to treat ourselves equitably, and we're being forsaken all over the place. Like you were saying, we're living in a kind of tyranny here, slavery. If we understood how banks operate, when they give out credit, it's in our authority. But they've hoodwinked us there, because I guess it's a difficult concept for everybody to grasp onto, that it's in a public authority, but they've made it into their private business. So it's truly our credit, but they say, no, we got to pay them back for money they never lent us to begin with.
Yes.
Or as Bill Moyers covers a little while ago on PBS, you know, they're obligated theoretically to cover 1/100th of the loan through the fractional reserve system that's so messed up right now. That's what we have.
Yep.
They're walking away with our lives, and I don't know if it's necessary. I know there's aspects to what you're saying I do agree to, where you're talking about, you know, there are people in control making these decisions, and we're left without leadership to communicate, you know, how to better serve ourselves, again, fairly, equitably. But it's, you know, it's the loss everywhere. Like in Iraq, for example, prior to the bombing campaign's beginning, the depositor was the shareholder. So you didn't have all these magical people in a second-tiered system that just suck up all the blood from our communities and leave us just enough to hang on for dear life. So that's what they had then. Then they bombed the place, and the IMF came in and said, well, we just gave Alawi, I think it was $600 million, and he signed over all the rights of Iraq to us. So now we're going to run the banking system, and the first law is never allow you to do that again. We're going to control credit here. You guys aren't going to be smart enough to do that again.
So, John, yeah. Yeah, we have a break coming up here, and I want to keep you on because I definitely did not have a chance to talk enough with you, and I want to hear more. But, you know, you're absolutely right. One of the actual commonalities between Iraq and Afghanistan was they didn't have a central banking system that was part of the international bank of settlements. One of the first things they did in Afghanistan, one of the first things they did in Iraq is install that banking system and took over that control of the issuance of currency. But stay right there, John. I want to continue this conversation. A lot more on the way here. Big ideas, but the cash is on fire. Yes, yes, that's a great song there by the Jerry Garcia Band, Run for the Roses, off of that album. What was it? Elvis, actually, the name of the album is Run for the Roses. I was going to say Infrared Roses, but that's a completely different Grateful Dead project altogether. No, not JBE, which is John's Brain's Envy. We were talking during the break of just what a beautiful mind you have, John. I like the way your mind works. Very articulate, obviously well-researched, and you're definitely an asset to our community. So first off, I want to thank you for all that you do for our community by just, you know, understanding the nature of the problems and then doing a good job of articulating the problems and, of course, some of the solutions, some of the obvious solutions.
Yeah, it can be disturbing and humbling at the same time, because I know I'm not all that intelligent. Like, a lot of this stuff breaks down. I guess I do spend a lot of time reading, and I'm probably older than most teenagers that are politically active, which seems to be the majority of voices out here, and, you know, or in our, you know, mid-20s, maybe early 30s. Once you start getting a family and mortgage payments under your belt and working full-time jobs, you generally don't have a lot of free time anyway. You know, I appreciate it. It becomes an obligation, a personal obligation, where I'm not even really doing anything for myself. I have to let people know, because I understand the banks don't cover our loans. You know, it compels me to just tell people we're being robbed left, right, and center. Half of our lives are going down the sewer for really no good cause or reason. And I read a great book too, J.W. Smith and the World's Wasted Wealth, and he quotes, I think it's been a few years since I read the book, but I believe he quotes Alexander Graham Bell screaming in his day, saying, listen, people, we're working twice as hard as we need to. There's all this redundancy and total waste of money. Please listen. And, you know, people, I guess, at that time didn't really want to listen to too much of what he had to say. Similarly, like Tesla, one of the greatest inventors of all time, dies almost a penniless man in America.
Yep.
You know, and he brought so much to so many, and he's almost left, like I say, a penniless man. That's a shame on our species. But so Anyway, so I see these things. Like, I know the mutual fund managers, some of these guys I learned from Frontline, they got more than $4 trillion for doing nothing because they got a special computer program attached to the market that I can't run, you can't run. They're just special friends of banker families.
Yep.
And have all our pension money locked away. And I know this, and it compels me to become politically active. Like, I have to let people know how badly we've been ripped by these crooks. They're real thieves, and similarly, it just goes on and on, as you're aware, and everybody else is. There's all these huge issues that seem we should be able to resolve them, but we just don't have the voices on these issues for fear.
And John, I don't mean to interrupt you there. I mean, people talk about conspiracy theories, and you can see them wanting to say to you as you're speaking and letting them know and educating them and trying to raise awareness to a particular subject. They just want to say, that's a conspiracy theory, though, isn't it? And, you know, we talk about so many things that are rooted in fact, documented. They can go look it up with their own eyeballs. I'm sorry, the fractional reserve banking system is not a conspiracy theory. You can read Modern Money Mechanics and read for yourself what fractional reserve banking system is, the practices they use, you know, where it started, and the proof's in the pudding to see what the results are. We can take a look at the results right now. So, I mean, that's not a theory. That is a fact. And people just don't want to take the time. And there's a lot of different reasons, a lot of psychological self-defense mechanisms in place for people who want to look at it. But bottom line is, I mean, this is not that hard to understand. We are being ripped off, lied to. And it's as simple as that, really. We're being ripped off and lied to.
and the crazy can be similarly kind of crazy also is that our answers are very easy. They're not impossible tasks. A lot of people say, well, you'll never, ever arrest anybody at the Federal Reserve. Forget it. Don't even try. And if we can formulate an argument where people can quickly understand it, that it's in their interest to enforce laws such as extortion, you know, we'd all be better served for it because, you know, America would get back an estimated $24 trillion. I mean, you know, without the math, my friends, it's a lot of money. Plus, they've stolen a lot of properties, you know, and the only guy I've known about talking about going after these criminals, they've stolen people's properties, my friends, is Ralph Nader. He talked, I read a little while ago, him talking about trying to get people to understand that these are criminal offenses. Because it's not that way, you wouldn't believe it if you only watch Fox News and CNN after work before putting the kids to bed and then getting to bed early because it's an early morning on Saturday. You got to get the extra cash together or they're going to take your car. And they're purposefully making people's payments skyrocket. And just as it was in Alexander Graham Bell's day, I mean, there's certain mathematical relationships here that if there was open discussion on it, like with economics, I mean, people just don't understand. There are basics of economics that we don't understand that we should. Like earlier in our development, like in the 70s, it was talked about in the newspapers where you understood why it was a wealthier person who takes more than another pays a higher percentage in taxes because it's fair that way. You're not mistreating him because you don't like rich people. It's that he'll just spend less money that he's taking at the grocery store or to pay the babysitter. You know, it's not a fifth of his income for the babysitter. Mm-hmm. So it's more fair for our communities to make sure we don't. But I mean, that's barely the tip of the iceberg because we know the bankers. The bankers in of themselves are our major obstacle and our major problem. And how do we resolve that? I don't know. I really like Ellen Brown at webofdebt.com. She made an argument I heard a couple of days ago where she's saying, well, what would conservatives in America say about North Dakota? North Dakota has a state-run bank where all the assets that are generated through loans by the bank go back into the state. It's the only place in America, I believe, that's like that, where in every other state and every other bank, just a magical wizard fellow takes all half of your income because he's hoodwinked you into believing he is God or he serves the public. Like, I see this. I see the relationship where people think, just give the money to the bank. They'll treat us well. They'll treat us good. It's a religious position to think that this public entity isn't operating in its private interest. And, of course, they are. They took all the bailout money and they said, well, you expect us to lend it back to you? The system doesn't even work that way any longer. But we're so blind to what's transpiring, they're able to take our money this way. But she said, you know, you compare it to North Dakota, would you call them socialists or would you call them, you know, taking more responsibility and authority over your nation's currency? Now, that doesn't mean there's no corruption there. That doesn't mean there can't be a criminal there in a commie, you know, they'll say, oh, it's the commies or the socialists are going to get you. It doesn't mean that there can't be a criminal enterprise transpiring at that location. I'm not saying that there is, of course. But it's closer to the will of the people and the public and voting and telling somebody.
You have hit the nail on the head. That is absolutely correct. You know, we extend all this faith. We extend all these luxuries and liberties to let these people take care of our money or our health or whatever have you. You know, and I always agree, if we had a perfect system or at least people we could trust, then it could work where the government was responsible for the issuing of our currency. They could even charge interest as long as that money went back. We could account for every single penny, and it went back towards budgetary means. It could absolutely work. Now, the problem is, who's running this system, right? It's more of a situation where if we could just get rid of these proven liars, these proven crooks, people like John Edwards, who's sleeping around on his wife while she's laying on her deathbed with cancer in the hospital, scumbags like Robert Byrd, pieces of trash like, my God, the list goes on and on and on with these scumbags. If we could just expose and just, like, get these people to understand that it's these people in power are not serving our interests. If we really could prove, and it would have to be through example, people in state government, people in local governments who, through their track record, have shown through 5 years, 10 years of office to have been, non-corruptible, doing the right thing for the right reason, there for the people that they're serving, their constituency. It could work. The problem is that we're so disenfranchised with trusting people that we know are already criminals. How does that work?
Yeah, exactly, and that's what the Constitution outlays. You know, the congressmen have to vote on whether or not your country's going to war, so you can hold them to account for the decisions they've made.
Exactly.
They said they delegate all authority to Bush, who uses no evidence to form our conclusions, and then says if we do try to understand it for ourselves, we're with them. We're the terrorists for thinking for ourselves.
And John, they've done it. We have examples, and we have current examples of showing how people will not tolerate what's going on in their government and what the examples, what the results were. In Argentina in 2000, the people took to the streets when their money experienced hyperinflation and became virtually worthless overnight. They took to the streets every goddamn day until that government stepped down, until every single one of those people stepped down out of government. They had new elections. And you know what? The next people that came into office were corrupted, too, and they did it once again, and they got a new government. That's what it might take, is us getting the right people into place. And I want to keep you, John. I want to keep you over one more time if that's possible.
Oh, absolutely.
You heard all right, we'll be back in a
second. Affordable upgrade for your vehicle.
All right, folks, we are back here. Final segment of Axiom Radio, this Friday edition. I'm talking with my friend John from Canada. He calls in all the time, and man, I'm really glad when he does, because it takes the show into a great direction. And, you know, we were talking during the break about how, you know, it's not so complicated. It really isn't. A lot of these different ideas and solutions, you know, the ability to have fresh, clean drinking water. I mean, you just take the fluoride and all the crap out of it. The ability to have actual healthy, nutritious food. My God, we live in a perfect country for an agricultural or agrarian type community. We can grow so many foods here. We have the luxury of having Florida and Hawaii and different regions where we can get pretty much any food that we want. But yet we still see all this crap. We allow MSG and yellow number 44 and aspartame and all this stuff into our food. It's not that hard to make people responsible and accountable for the products they sell. You know, and, you know, I'm not trying to oversimplify the whole process because, you know, unless you understand the nature of the problem, these solutions aren't obvious to you. They seem like, you know, there are no solutions to it. That's why people get so frustrated by it and let others do that work for them. But, you know, I guess it just gets down to the nature of letting people know that they're being lied to, I guess. I mean, how do you impress upon somebody enough that they're being lied to and then point them in the right direction as to where to get good information?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've been at it for a long time. There's all kinds of different ways of going about this. It's like you say, it's hard to convince people who put a lot. We're all affected by suggestion. I think this is going to be the biggest hurdle that we're ever going to have to deal with, is that nothing's absolutely certain in this universe, so people can create doubt in their minds. Like you were saying, it's just a conspiracy. So a person who's completely illiterate, he doesn't have to read no books or nothing. That's his defense mechanism.
And this guy I was arguing with, he had a PhD. Why does it always seem harder to wake up people who are very smart, educated, people who should easily be able to understand the nature of these problems, and yet those are the hardest people to wake up?
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, it's both sides, that's for certain, yeah. Well, you know, it's communicating facts and things that we can substantiate mathematically, like that's important, and science, but CNN doesn't want to put in that effort because, like, as you were saying there, and maybe between the break there, you know, when you have trillions of dollars and your intent is largely criminal, for sure to escape, you do not want the people to become enlightened enough to understand where that money came from. That's what they're committed to for certain.
Yeah.
You know, to me and you, or to the average Joe, $50,000 is a hell of a lot of money. To them, it's not even a penny in a bucket, because $1 trillion is just it's just madness. People can't comprehend how much money that is. Think about all the things you could buy with $10 million, man. $100 million, biggest house, biggest car, fastest car, man. You're eating out every day for your life.
People are cooking for you.
Maybe you don't like those little things. But anyway, you've got friends. Anyway, you got people who want to be with you, and you got all the money in the world. And to these guys, you know, they have thousands of billions of dollars, and their existence is committed to taking more from ourselves. You know, this is one of the things I like to point out to people. You know, you look at this guy that Frontline covered. He has trillions of dollars that he essentially stole from your pension fund because you don't understand, and you'll let him get away because it's too hard to communicate, and people will form doubts. Like I say, I can't be troubled with learning all that stuff. Forget it. And I can't get on CNN to go out, look, who on earth disagrees with this position? This guy just walked away with $4 trillion with Greenspan. We want the money back right now, please. Anybody disagree? That's what we need. We need these indivisible truths that stand indisputable to be talked about at a leadership role or a leadership level on a national stage, where we go, look, where is the opposition? I want to hear what the other side has to say, because we know on a lot of these issues it's non-existent. There's mercury in the vaccines. It's causing neurological brain damage. Do these mothers want to, first of all, shouldn't they know that this is going to cause this damage? And if they did, would they want to continue on with this nonsense? Because there's no science to back up the validity of these crazy claims they've been making. But CNN will say, oh, that's too crazy. That's too far out. We want to only cover things that we can create doubt on. So we'll tell the audience, as Fox News did a little while ago, that a guy on there came on briefly, says, look, don't take the vaccine. It contains 25,000 times the legal limit for mercury. It will, you know, it's going to hurt you. And then the Fox News guy goes, well, yeah, we know your opinion, and we got a couple other guys who say something else, okay? You know, you say they want to go away from that. Anybody who can say, look, the bankers don't cover our loans, why are we bailing them out then? As soon as they get somebody who says that, they go, don't let that guy speak, because we can't dispute that. We're just giving them trillions of dollars blindly as fools, believing that the big bank building is the purpose for our existence. Because that's what we're doing. It's half of our lives we're giving to these guys, and it's only our failures to say, wait, we want to halt right here. This is the crime of extortion. We need to get prosecutors on this case. It's similarly with 9/11. Bush and Cheney were responsible for closing investigations that have to be reopened. We had FBI officers tell us that they were threatened with arrest for speaking on this subject. That's treason. What soldier in America disagrees with that stance?
No, I totally agree. I think it's a lack of – you're right. It's a lack of that voice. You always have somebody there, that real strong, bolsterous voice for shilling for the mainstream, you know, shilling for the status quo. Where is that voice, that bolsterous voice, given equal airtime? See, I think that's why a lot of people were so disappointed with Ron Paul's campaign. We said, oh, my God, he's got the national spotlight. He's going to have a chance to let everybody know. And we forgot that he was running for president. He wasn't up there to expose the New World Order, to expose the Federal Reserve banking policy. I mean, some of his best speeches I've ever heard was when he was sitting up there grilling Bernanke or grilling Alan Greenspan. He never even came close to taking that type of approach towards getting the information out there. So I think that's what it really is. We sorely lack a national voice, a bold, strong voice, sort of like an Alex Jones, somebody that just speaks so confidently, speaks so strongly, is backed up by research and fact and experience. It's just not out there. You know, what you see is a little bit of the ability to paint somebody as a kook. Like if you get on a Gerald Celente type of individual, he's saying basically the same type of stuff as Peter Schiff. But Peter Schiff is a lot harder to paint into that kooky conspiracy theory type individual. So it's really hard. You have to have this, like, untarnished individual who has never done anything wrong, a guy that you can really just speak through his experience and his track record, and then he has to have equal airtime at that, you know? And then he's never going to get equal airtime, dude, because 95% of it is the polar opposite, explaining how that guy is a fool or a kook, or he is the you know, he's very of the few, you know. He's of the few. Do you want to join the guy of the few, or do you want to join the rest of us, the other 90%? Most people go, I'd rather join the masses and not stick out like a sore thumb. I don't want any conflict, you know.
I think it also has to do with insecurity. People want to be part of a group, and or they want to be on the winning football team.
Yep.
You know, they don't put in any effort, and they can just sit back, vicariously live through Bush and go, hey, Bush is dumber than I am, and he's president. Boy, that's great. I could be that person. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I could command the bombers to bomb those little kids and stuff. Wow, that's just like me.
I'm as smart as our president. I mean, imagine the ego boost that it gave to the millions of dolts around the world, or even in our own country, the millions of just complete and total idiots that said, oh, man, they can basically figure out that they're just as smart or have there's some kind of parity in their intellect. I mean, that should scare the crap out of people, but instead it empowered people. Oh, man, I feel good about myself. John, I got to wrap it up, man, but thank you so much for calling tonight, man. I always do appreciate when you do call in, and definitely call back soon, please.
Okay, well, thanks. Separate issues is all we got to concentrate on. We'll try to dissolve party affiliations and just go issue by issue and set priorities, and we'll get this job done.
Yes, I totally agree, my friend. Have a great weekend, John. I look forward to our next conversation.
Okay, we'll go out.
Out.
Money. And the truth is, for some of their crimes, they would deserve to be attacked. But that shows you how sick and how controlled we are that the average American doesn't even realize this. And the average American, you know, I constantly see the American people really being turned against the Muslims. There's very, very few Muslims overall in the United States of America. And yet, even so, my relatives who watch Fox or some of these other stations, even CNN, they're thinking, boy, these terrible Muslims, you know, Ahmadinejad and the other Muslims throughout the Middle East. And I always ask them, I say, look, is it the Muslims who've caused massive numbers of babies to be aborted in America? Is the Muslims that are behind the pornography? Is the Muslims that control Hollywood? Is the Muslims that are trying to tell your children to use drugs? Is the Muslims that have got us involved? You know, it's just, they haven't done this to us. They haven't opened our border. They haven't been
very
there
good.
To this country.
Very good. Thanks, Sam, for the call.
Thank you, man.
Okay.
It.
We're going to have to go back to the phones with John on line two from Winnipeg. John.
Hey, guys. You know, I think there's a much more effective way of addressing the criminality of the Israeli government, where we defeat the shield that they use, calling those that criticize their ungodly behavior as anti-Semite. An example is when...
How do we defeat it, John? How do we defeat it?
It's actually not that complicated. When they steal an innocent person's home, you say that's an ungodly act. Jewish people don't thieve from humanity to profit off our suffering. Why don't you look at the Bible? You ungodly, evil urchins of hell, you know, they're thieves. So you take the position to say, I defend Jewish people. You admit, as the Israeli criminal government has, to breaking the truce with Gaza, indiscriminately slaughter all these people, including 239 police officers with banned illegal warfare weaponry. You're an ungodly demon enemy of all humanity. We've all agreed that indiscriminately murdering...
So how do we defeat it? Just by calling them ungodly and that they're going to be defeated?
They're not Jews. And this is another big problem, is what are we talking about? Ethnically Jewish people?
Well,
religiously Jewish people?
So is there Jews out there then?
Well, if we go by history and what we know...
Are they out there?
They live in Ethiopia and they're all black guys. And they've been there for thousands of years.
Yeah, there are, whatever you call them, you know, they call themselves Jews.
That's the problem.
And they're identified as Jews, and they call themselves Jews. So, I mean, you know, you can call them not Jews, but to me that's just trying to get out of the whole anti-Semitic attack against
them.
That doesn't do any good. It's Jewish extremism. We talk, there's talk about Muslim extremism. There's talk about fundamentalist or Christian extremism. Why don't we talk about Jewish extremism? And that's a much more dangerous thing than any other. It's not a few people running around the desert. The Jewish extremists are right now in the basement of the White House, you know, having parties and gatherings, and people like Chabad Lubavitch and groups like Chabad Lubavitch and these other groups that are so extreme. That's what we should do. We need to call a spade a spade. We need to tell the truth, and that's the only way we can defeat them. They're the masters of deceit. We're not going to be defeating them by being super clever and saying, well, these aren't really Jews. That doesn't make any sense to me. And the second thing is, you also, when you call people ungodly demons and things like that, that's not, that's not, that doesn't sound...
Let John respond. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, we're not. I'm calling them criminals, and any human being who can discern what a criminal is by the facts will conclude that exact same position. You're doing what all those who say kill Muslims do, because the guy who's an illiterate in Mississippi, never been to school, all he knows is what he's learned on Fox News, and it's always the Arabs. It's always the Arabs. So, like you say about Jewish people, that guy who will kill a child with a gun in his hand will say, "Hey, it's the Muslims, man. That's who did it. It's the Muslims."
Yeah, but
you're being unfair.
John, the difference between that and this is these people are recognized as Jews, and it's a fact. It's not just like Fox making a broad statement about the Muslims. These are people that are caught red-handed. And they're Jewish.
But the Ethiopian Jews?
No.
Boy.
The Jews in America and Israel.
History.
It's not about Ethiopian Jews.
Anyway.
They live in Ethiopia and they're all black guys. And they've been there for thousands of years.
Whatever you call them, they call themselves Jews.
That's the problem.
And they're identified as Jews and they call themselves Jews. So, I mean, you can call them not Jews, but to me that's just trying to get out of the whole anti-Semitic attack against
them.
That doesn't do any good. It's Jewish.
Well, they live in Ethiopia, and they're all black guys. And they've been there for thousands of years.
Whatever you call them, they call themselves Jews.
That's the problem.
And they're identified as Jews, and they call themselves Jews. So, I mean, you can call them not Jews, but to me that's just trying to get out of the whole anti-Semitic attack against
them.
That doesn't do any good. It's Jewish.
Well, they live in Ethiopia, and they're all black guys, and they've been there for thousands of years.
Whatever you call them, they call themselves Jews.
That's the problem.
And they're identified as Jews, and they call themselves Jews. So, I mean, you can call them not Jews, but to me that's just trying to get out of the whole anti-Semitic attack against
them.
And I'm telling you, these aren't Jewish people. These are Germans.
Well, he's a Shabbos goy, though. Who's he taking his orders from?
Well, but that's still, then you need to hold your own people accountable. Because you're pointing your finger
I agree with you on that. We agree there.
And that's what I'm saying is you're focusing on one people. I'm focusing on all of them.
Right.
And I'm saying I don't care.
Well, yeah, we're not that far apart then. But it was a very respected historian and scholar named Oscar Levy, and he wrote in the World Significance of the Russian Revolution, he said there's scarcely an event in modern Europe that cannot be traced back to the Jews. We Jews are today nothing else but the world's seducers, its destroyers, its incendiaries, its executioners. This isn't a Gentile, it's not a German saying this. This is a Jew, a Jewish scholar, a respected scholar.
And your point again would be that it's only Jews.
Well, not necessarily, Eric, but yeah. I mean,
well, that's the whole point is I'm trying to get you to focus on, I don't care who they are, I don't care how tall they are, how short they are.
Jews are not a warring tribe, though, Eric. For 500 years, they just had 22.
Yeah, but I'm focusing on people like Michael Chertoff. He has a name. He has a conflict of interest in being a citizen of two countries.
Yes.
I don't care where he comes from. It's a conflict of interest.
Correct.
That not that obvious.
Right. And, yeah, I can't care less about his nationality either.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or his religion. It's irrelevant. But the dual citizenship is
a criminal is a criminal, and it doesn't go to their race, their nationality, their gender, their ethnicity, or anything else. A criminal is a criminal. You need to call them on being a criminal, what their crime is, and what they're doing specifically.
I agree with you on that.
And stick to that.
Yeah, we agree on that. We're cool. All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, peace. All right, let me go to John in Canada.
Hey,
John.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Peace, guy.
Yeah, you stole my thunder. I've waiting all this time, and then you said criminal is a criminal. That's kind of where I'm coming from. And, your previous caller prior was talking about, if Americans were legitimately following the Constitution, a lot of these criminal behaviors would have been halted by exercising the protections that were there. So this threat that one day the Constitution is going to be gone and the royalty is going to come on and take us away from our freedoms is past already. As you said too, with J.P. Morgan, they had more than $1 trillion through this entire so-called banker crisis, and bailing them out makes no sense. But they had $1 trillion. If we had to borrow money, we just simply could have borrowed it from them. But they don't like that. They want to find a way to exploit our weaknesses in our inabilities to communicate effectively. Which you're doing pretty good. I really like these last callers. It was some really important info. The idea of Israel being, and there doesn't have to be conflict between you and your previous caller. Both of you are correct in your positions. I like what you said about.
But I'm trying to get into broad news. It's more historical than that, because Israel was overrun as a kingdom as well by Babylon, and that these families, these individuals predate even Israel. They go back to Assyria, Samaria, you know, Babylon and more. Very ancient civilizations, very ancient cultures. They know how to use the military-industrial complex to take over a nation. And that's what they used World War One and World War Two to do, as a land bridge of sorts, under the national security umbrella, to infiltrate our government, infiltrate our military, and to take it over, just like they did in the Roman Empire, when the majority of the Roman army was German, Germanic. And I'm sorry, you can't ignore that fact.
No.
And whether they were acting just as good Germans and following orders, you have to realize that there's some legitimacy to this. There's some historical significance to this, and it's not just the Jews.
Right.
It's about royalty.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of things. It's criminal. It's like you said. It's criminality. As your previous guest or caller said, you know, Israel can be considered a cannibalizing nature, having a cannibalizing nature, for the simple fact that they confess to breaking the truce with Gaza and indiscriminately murdering people, starting the conflict, killing Jews. If a Jewish person was really concerned about exercising their belief in God, they would be condemning the government straight to hell where they rightly belong for stealing.
And there is a lot of people in Israel who are doing that.
Right. And so they're stealing an innocent person's home. That's a crime against humanity and God. But you have to understand,
there's been a lot of people against the settlements. There's been a lot of people that have opposed Netanyahu, that have opposed the Israeli government and what is going on in there with Palestine. I mean, even knowing and understanding what happened with the Balfour Declaration, where the land was basically given over to the Israelites.
Yeah, don't steal anybody's Palestinian home is what was declared in that declaration, which was totally ignored.
But a lot of those people in Gaza and the West Bank were Arabs who lived in that. A lot of the people just fled the area. They just left town. Those people that stayed in Gaza and the West Bank were the most radical, who the other Arab states did not want in their country.
Huh.
They got stuck in between.
Not necessarily. There's a lot of people involved. There are millions. And a lot of them own property or lived in a home.
Didn't want to leave. They didn't want to leave their homeland.
This idea of criminality, though, it can be reduced to simpler principles, particularly when we're reflecting on the Constitution and, let's say, Afghanistan. People will say, well, we don't want to give the Taliban evidence to form a conclusion. Why should we treat them with the same respect that we treat ourselves? But guess what?
What do you think about the peace prize given to Obama, since you bring up Afghanistan?
Well, you know, if he was a man of peace, he would be demanding the arrest of those who committed mass murder in New York City on 9/11, principally Bush, for closing investigations. If we want to get anybody who's truly responsible, we're going to have to get the cops back on the job. And to do that, we have to acknowledge Bush and Cheney deliberately worked to close outstanding criminal inquiries designed since the dawn of time to nab the actual bad guys. You know, this is the thing. If we respect the Constitution of America, we would respect to give the Taliban evidence to form a guilty verdict, of which they were denied. You were denied. We were all denied.
Well, and I've seen how these administrative proceedings work from the inside. Hold on. We'll be right back. 800-313-9443. Hold on. Let me just say, as far as Barack Obama, anyone who is opposed to his politics is somehow racist or accused of being racist by the current media. And I'm not, I would love to see him restore the Coast Guard to being a police agency. I'd love to see him break it up and turn it back over to local and state authorities. I'd love to see him do right by all those who have come under these military tribunals of the Coast Guard, and to investigate what's going on in turning this civil service agency into a branch of military, and, you know, integrated Coast Guard systems, Tempest, national security concerns, civil defense, and more. But I don't see that happening because, I don't know, the whole Peace Prize thing and everything else. But let me go, John in Canada, hold on one sec. Let me go to Eddie in Ohio. Eddie, you there?
Yeah. How you doing?
Yeah, real quick, because I've got the last couple minutes. I'm trying to bring you in because you're on hold. And John was on before you, though. But, John, are you still there? John, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, John and Eddie, I'll let you guys have the last couple minutes together. Eddie, go ahead real quick, and then John, you can jump in.
I just had a question. Are you saying that they're trying to turn the Coast Guard into a gendarmerie like they have in Italy, where they have actually a military branch of the police?
Yeah, even the English, their Coast Guard is not military, it's civil service. Even the English know and understand that it's, you know, it has to deal with people, civilians, citizens, so it can't be a branch of military. But here they're taking our Coast Guard, go to its Wikipedia page, type in Coast Guard, Wikipedia, pull it up and see what it's saying that the Coast Guard can do, that it's this special branch of military that can police and regulate civilian affairs. Right. Under the direct authority of Barack Obama for, you know, as president. But this was all formed under Bush, but Obama isn't doing anything to change it and say, look, no, this isn't right. He's a constitutional scholar. He knows this stuff. He knows that the Coast Guard is not a branch of military, that it didn't branch from the Navy or the Army, that it was formed independently, and it came from the ice-breaking service, revenue cutter marine, life-saving service, lighthouse service. How do you get a branch of military from that?
I don't know. Let me make one more comment, and I'll just get off the phone. You're a very bright guy. You know, the Third Amendment, that's the third one, the one that follows the second one. The Third Amendment is not dead. If there is an insurgency movement in America, they will put two or three soldiers in your home. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, with the Coast Guard, go to their Wikipedia page. They're saying that they're the only branch of military that can carry their service-issued weapons home with them for, quote-unquote, self-protection. No other branch of military can do that. Do you realize what a breach of constitutional principles that is? What a breach of housing military federal troops amongst us with their weapons is. John, in Canada, you got a minute or so.
Yeah, it's horrific. I witnessed or listened to an interview given yesterday at Oracle, a soldier talking about what, and he'd been in Iraq several times and what his thoughts are, and he just said, I don't care. I don't care about anything. I'm here to make a dollar, and I'll do whatever it takes to protect my soldiers. He doesn't care whether Bush did 9/11 or it was an inside job or there's no reason to be killing people in Iraq whatsoever. He's making money, and he's defending soldiers' lives, he claims. But no, he's getting them killed. If he was an honorable patriot warrior, he'd be demanding justice for ourselves to defend the great republic, but he's not there. As you said with Obama, it's so difficult, even if he was, although he falls massively short. But it's so difficult because he's surrounded by all these massive criminals. You know?
Yeah, but come on. Who surrounded him with those people?
Right. Well, Duncan Hunter, you mentioned, I just witnessed him talk yesterday, telling us about how the Taliban and Al-Qaeda planned 9/11 from inside Afghanistan and carried it out from a cave. He deserves to be arrested for treason. He's a demon liar who only exists.
Well, no. Worse, he set up his son to take over his congressional seat.
That's what I'm going to talk.
Yeah, Congressman Hunter Jr. is now in his seat.
Monster.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah.
All right, peace, guy.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. That's it, people.
Well, don't think it's always just going to be like this, because it won't be. Okay, now I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to talk to John here, and then we'll cover some more info. Good afternoon, John.
Howard.
Hello. You're on the air, John.
Okie dokie. Yeah. Well, you brought up a number of subjects that I was hoping I could briefly talk about. God, you know, no matter what person you talk to, whatever religious persuasion, they will hopefully believe to proclaim God is just. God, and, of course, it only makes sense that God would support just causes. If God is of all people, we want to treat ourselves equitably. God doesn't want to see an innocent person suffer, like Christ or so on. So we all believe God is just and would will just causes as it proclaims through what they call the Golden Rule. Every religion out there practically has the founder reiterate the same lesson over and over again. Don't do to others what you wouldn't want to be done to yourself. It's really simple stuff. And all our answers are right there. You know, I remember an interview a soldier had given to a reporter in Iraq, and the soldier had asked him, why are you shooting these people at random? you know, and for whatever reason. What's your reason? And the soldier said, well, I'm getting him back for 9/11. And the journalist said to him, well, you know that these people have absolutely nothing to do with flying those planes into the towers in New York City, right? And the soldier says, as he touches his tongue to his nose, it's all above my head, and goes on continually shooting more people. So he's got an excuse. And a lot of people say they're Christians and have excuses also. But they don't jive with the facts, and they don't stand in the light of the truth.
True. Like, the part of the truth is standing up against evil, and many of them are of the mindset, hey, you know, Jesus is coming back. We don't have to worry about anything. And I'm not telling you what reality is and what it's not. You believe whatever you want, the listeners, in terms of spiritual beliefs. I'm saying, like, hey, he's coming back. I don't have to be responsible. I don't have to be loving. I don't have to try to stop the war. I don't have to do anything because he's coming to do it for me. And so this is what you're going to want to look at. John, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yeah, like you were just saying before the break, you know, people go, well, let's just wait for the Jesus guy character to show up, and who gives a damn about anyone else for now, if we can profit off this indiscriminate slaughter. And, I mean, it's, you know, let's say through Genesis, you know, God is the word. We exercise or express ourselves with language, and the power is all right here. Yeah, if we want justice, we can get it. It's very easy, but people have to believe that justice is what we want. My argument on a lot of these issues that people think are insurmountable, such as banking, the banks never cover our loans. That's the forbidden knowledge nobody's allowed to know about. And people will get you talking about anything else but that. They don't cover our loans. So bailing them out is irrational. Why give guys money on only hopes that they might lend it back when they don't lend money to us? They don't cover the loans that we take out when we go to get a mortgage. So, you know, and then on top of that, J.P. Morgan had more than $1 trillion to the entire so-called crisis. If we had to borrow money, we could have just simply borrowed it from them. So they've committed the crime of extortion. So if I was on CNN right now, if I was on Coast to Coast radio program, I'd go, is anybody out there believe Bush shouldn't be arrested for closing 9/11 investigations immediately? We gave the Taliban zero evidence to form a conclusion. If you want justice for yourself, you have to demand justice for the Taliban. The Taliban are only asking for evidence to form your conclusion. They're the ones that are waving the American flag. People go, yeah, I don't care. Don't talk about that. Well, that's the truth. Do you believe in God or not? Why do you want to treat the Taliban unjustly? Because you end up treating yourself unjustly, you see. They say, oh, we don't need to give them evidence. Well, it's evidence for yourself to form your mind on who's good or evil. Bush says, you don't do that no more. You're not informing your own decision on who's good or bad. He'll tell you. And if you disagree with him, you're a terrorist. All those are broken thoughts. They're broken. That's the mind of an evil demon. And it's as evil as you can be. There's very few people who are as evil as George Walker Bush is, but you'd never know it. You know, interestingly, one of the first...
There is so much evil in the world. I just want to mention real quick. You live in Canada, and I got this article here about all these body bags. There are news videos, too, that they're taking to the natives and the Aborigines. And they are upset about this. It's very, very strange, even in their eyes, that this is taking place. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, Bush, one of the first things he did was steal $50 billion. People psychologically can't deal with it, so he pressed on and talked about other things. That's one of the very first things he did when he originally took office. But as it is in Canada regarding the flu shots, you might not have heard, Alex, several days ago, a number of provinces have banned giving influenza shots to anybody for a number of really good reasons. Some of the provinces are Alberta, Nova Scotia, Saskatchewan, and there's several, Quebec, and also Manitoba has been asked what our position here is on the scientific validity to the claims that have been made, and we've been hoeing and humming. We go, oh, we don't know, come back to us later, but all these other provinces have decided that it's not within our interest to pump these poisons into the bloodstreams of our children. One of the primary reasons is there was a peer-reviewed study that just was released several days ago or last week that says if you take your influenza shot, you're twice as likely to come down with the swine flu. And so subsequently die as a consequence, more likely if you take the vaccination, twice as likely. So we want answers. And then at the same time, just several days before that, the World Health Organization had made some statements in a press conference saying, well, we don't really have any evidence that there's a dangerous virulent mutation of the influenza strain
per se, but it's important to be vigilant and protect and you know, be vigilant and work to defend ourselves and so
this
blah blah blah.
So strange. Yeah, I know. I need to come in every now and then though and mention a headline, John. Doctors concerned flu-esque vaccine could spread live H1 virus with 60% of the U.S. population at risk. Is swine flu nasal spray a pandemic waiting to happen? You mentioned that, and you mentioned a headline. I have to actually source it, and that's what I'm doing now for the audience. Doctors and hospitals are expressing concern that the flu-esque vaccine could endanger people because it contains live H1N1 virus, unlike the injectable shot that contains antibodies, with no less than 60% of the U.S. population. Hospitals in Colorado and elsewhere are shutting the FluMist H1N1 vaccine, a nasal spray that contains live swine flu virus, because of fears it could infect people with weakened immune systems and the underlying health conditions. Now, yeah, John, so they want to give the kids that first, and it appears that this is on its way now. It's on its way now to a major city near you, or a small town, for that matter.
Oh, for sure. Well, when that report came out last week regarding you're twice as likely to contract swine flu, and then of course there's the mercury that causes certain horrific neurological brain damage every single time without debate, without question. We know what the neurological effects are of the heavy metal toxin mercury. But when this report initially came out, almost the very same day, it might have even been within minutes, the American military announced that every single soldier will be mandatorily injected with this poison immediately. And this was last week.
That's true. So they won't have a problem giving it to us. They're like, hey, we already had to take it. Now we're going to give it to you. They made us take it. Hey, we're doing okay. Well, you're not doing okay. You ain't thinking straight, are you? Because if you were, you want to be a slave to the system. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and we can see a lot of these notions aren't, you know, a lot of people, everybody, you know, nobody wants to admit our weaknesses. You know, I admit I'm stupid in all kinds of realms of which I'm unfamiliar, but everybody's got to be a big patriot and be all knowledgeable on every subject under the sun, and that's unfortunate because we can see it's very difficult to understand the banking situation, but it's costing us everything. You know, trillions and trillions. The estimates are as high as $24 trillion. We know they for sure just walked away with at least $4 trillion. You know, we have the woman that's running the TARP fund, the Congressional Oversight Panel. She's the chairwoman. She alleges criminal fraud is transpiring today. They're walking away with our money, and it's trillions of dollars. So we have to humble ourselves to go, well, look, who can explain this on the face of the planet? Not very many people. You know, it's like genetics, too. I'm familiar with genetics and horizontal gene transfer and why it's so dangerous, what Monsanto is doing as a threat to our entire species. And I witness there's like five people on the face of the planet who can speak on the subject, and none of anybody gets a chance to speak on CNN or on Coast to Coast. And this is the thing about truth being so powerful and God's the word and stuff. You just go, look, the banks don't cover our loans. This is a criminal fraud. We want our money back. Does anybody on earth disagree? And with open lines, you say, look, you can speak anonymously. Come forward and let's hear you speak. My argument and contention is that these evil people live in darkness and just pretend they're our friends. They want to exploit our weaknesses and our inabilities to communicate freely. Censorship is the tool of tyranny. Without censorship, greater ideas will prevail because we can freely talk about it and go, look, putting poison in our child's veins is bad, you know, mutating the food that we eat at our kitchen table is bad news, and, we need to solve these issues today before more people fall down victim. And I hate, you know, all these soldiers over these last 5 days have been forced inoculated poisons that are more likely to give them the swine flu, cause them irreparable brain damage, and take them down. Now, why does America want to do that to your own sons and daughters? I want to go after the criminals in the military, those responsible for torture or raping children. We want to hunt these down to the ends of the earth and make sure they're formally executed or rot in a prison cell for the rest of their natural born days. But that's not all the soldiers. Some of them really believe, as naive as they are, they're trying to do the right thing, but they have no leadership. And we can find the leadership within ourselves, and we're not going to get it on TV. McCain's on TV 5 minutes ago saying, don't try to delineate a Taliban from Al-Qaeda. They're all the same. Do not allow anybody to speak such nonsense, he's saying. Well, why? He doesn't want the truth to prevail. He doesn't want people to understand the soldiers are dying as the bad guys escaping the PNAC or forces
who, you know, at their own website, you know, the Project for New American Century, they have four goals. But their first goal is protect America, the homeland. Second goal, start multiple simultaneous world wars. That's their second goal.
Okay, John, that's the bumper music, which indicates that the break. We're going to a break here. So, we'll be back in a few.
Universe. I come from a place that people aren't familiar with. For me, you know, after 9/11, I called all the military phone numbers I could find in the phone book, and there's lots of them. And I talked to all kinds of people in the military. And I'll tell you, most of them are cowards. They're all terrified. And that's why they joined the military. They want the assurance of somebody else thinking for them. They don't have to deal with the uncertainties in this world, and they can hide behind the flag. But they're not bad guys, generally. Usually soldiers are the slower of our kids in school, and they're poor. Almost always they're the poor kids who live in the poor slums. Well, we don't really have slums in Canada, but they're from our poorer communities or on the East Coast. Almost, you know, every time you see the dead soldier, you'll see it's a French guy. He's some stupid little French child who's been conned in Quebec to die for the escape of those who actually truly did us wrong. But when communications are open, the evil can't prevail. You know, bad people only succeed because we can't speak over their demon charade. Yeah, well, for sure, clean drinking water is the top priority. And it doesn't cost that much, and it can save your life. I mean, we are bodies of water ourselves, and clean water can bind to all the toxins that you have in your body. And I've heard garlic can do you pretty good, too. But I was saying earlier, you know, Reagan made it illegal to torture anybody and wants a death sentence. You torture anybody in any country. You want to fly Americans to Egypt to be tortured to death? Reagan says, we'll put you to death for that crime. Now, that law is standing American law. No, but yet, on the number of news wires, you know, they say, well, you know, we had to torture this guy and he gave us the false confession, but that's what we do nowadays. No, we have to hunt these people down under American law, give them a lawyer, and then they're formally executed for their offenses. The reason it keeps people are lost, because as you say, we're affected by these news wire services too, to believe things that aren't necessarily the way they are. You can't defeat Reagan's law. In Nazi Germany, it was against the law to torture people, too, and they couldn't get rid of that law because you can't argue it in court. You can't win against a guy like me who understands why it's illegal. You're not pursuing the bad guys. It's almost always the sexually dysfunctional sadomasochist who just pleasures in hurting an innocent other person. Almost always. There are very few exceptions. But that's what torture is, and that's why it warrants a death sentence. But people go, I didn't know that, and we're not getting it on CNN either. They're not telling you what the standing law in America is. If you as a Republican, because almost all Republicans exclusively voted for torture, and you say you're a Republican or a conservative and you think torture should be warranted, let's have free debate. You want to hide in darkness and pretend you're a man. I want you to be brought into the light and explain yourself, because they can't. They're failures. The personal failures to the great wonders of this universe, where we respect the rights of others, where we defend the innocent in wartime, of which has gone past ourselves as just an ideology. It shouldn't be an ideology. It should be the bedrock of America, the nation, to defend the innocent. Instead, as I was saying earlier, you know, the Project for New American Century, they have four goals. Their first goal, defend America, the homeland. Second goal, start multiple simultaneous world wars. And they don't give you the reasons why. They just want it. They think that that's the benefit, just starting wars and killing millions of people and benefiting off the contracts that they'll get with no bidding processes, you know. And we already know, as many people probably should be aware, KBR would order brand new Pentium 4 dual core machines to be sent out to Iraq. They would get them to Iraq and burn them all in a big bonfire of P4. Dual cores, because they could get that money back plus some stipulation with the contract that if they destroy it, they get double their cash back or whatever. So you as an American taxpayer buy brand new P4 dual cores to be shipped to Iraq to be burned in a bonfire. They do it for money, for profit. That's not. They need to be arrested, and soldiers aren't arresting them. Instead, they're randomly shooting down people as innocent murder victims to further profit these PNACer forces. And it's right on their website. They want to start wars. And then, of course, as you're probably familiar, they say, well, it might be a little difficult. We need like a Pearl Harbor type event to kick off all these wars. You know, they don't even have a reason for killing people. They just want to kill people and profit off that exchange. And I remember MSNBC, maybe 6 months after 9/11 or so, had been provided documents showing a list of 60 countries that they were planning to attack. And their idea was they would hit Afghanistan, they would hit Iraq, and then they would hit all these other countries, and we would be lost because another war would be starting. How are we going to talk about it? Because another war is starting, and another, and they were just going to continually go to war against 60 countries. That was their original war crime strategy with the P2OG and Condoleezza Rice's invasion of Afghanistan, top secret plan. All this stuff is available for the public to pursue. We just need leadership to demand justice for ourselves. And I don't know, man. I wish people would say similar things like me. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, these principles aren't something I own. Freedom I don't own. I try to sell it to other people to go, look, these rights are just assuredly to be your own. Defend these innocent people, and as a consequence, as God teaches in all religions, it'll come back to ourselves, our own communities. Treat the Taliban justly, you're going to be nabbing the actual perpetrators responsible for 9/11, mass murder in New York City. That's what we want. Who disagrees with that? They're hiding in darkness, I say. I say they're hiding in darkness. We think that that's a huge majority, maybe even the majority of the entire nation. I go bogus. The polls are bogus. Nobody supports killing innocent people or torturing them to death, except the rapists. You know, except this psycho enemies of God and man, you know, but they can't speak publicly. They can't step into the light of day and tell us about how, as we have on video, soldiers just randomly kidnap barefoot Iraqi children and beat them to death on videotape for their pleasures. They can't speak that in public. We'd hunt them down unmercilessly. In fact, if any of those soldiers spoke up publicly, let's say on Coast to Coast or CNN, that entire city, I would gamble. You know, if it's a city of 10 million people, I'd bet 4 or 5 million of them would hunt that one individual down and make sure that justice was brought to him. You know, we have it on videotape, these soldiers beating these barefoot children. I want them prosecuted as enemies of God and man. They're not patriots. They're not warring for freedom. They're enemies who think they have an excuse. As like I said at the beginning of the call, a soldier was asked, why are you shooting these people? He says, I'm getting them back for 9/11. Journalist says they've got nothing to do with 9/11. It's all above my head, he said. See, he's got an excuse. I say that isn't an excuse.
Let's go to the phones real quick. We have John in Canada holding. John, thanks for staying up late. Welcome.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I was listening to you. Pardon me, I just got a cough here. I was listening to you say about or the analogy that was given regarding the back door being picked. You know, I would throw in or I would change it a little bit to say that they've ransacked the house, they stole the deeds of the land, they stole your pension, they'll rape your wife, because we have rapists that just freely walk down our streets. So the thing is this is the thing that I criticize what I label the NWOers. They always say, well, Bush is a puppet, the bankers are puppets, it's coming somewhere down the future there where they're going to have this new currency, and they've all planned it out, and we've got to fight that. Never mind all this other stuff that's going down, such as Elizabeth Warren, the chairwoman for the Congressional Oversight Panel on the TARP Fund, says criminal fraud's transpiring today. These people are walking away with trillions of dollars that they've defrauded from the American public. The politicians are scumbags. They're there to sell you out for the highest bidder. And we can see on the healthcare issue, it's so hard for a guy like me to communicate to Americans, because all you guys got is what's on TV, and there's very few people who just work out the numbers and say, look, they're taking 30% for nothing. And whether you're pro-government or anti-government or whatever, if you want to be responsible, you don't want to give away 30% of your expenditures for nothing to people who aren't doctors or nurses and would rather see you die than eat into their profit margins, of which every other country doesn't have a middleman there. We don't have private insurance companies scooping up all the money. We just manage ourselves accordingly. But it's a difficult, that's almost impossible to communicate to America. But what can we communicate to America? Justice for ourselves. The soldiers were conned. Bush closed 9/11 investigations. We want to arrest the actual culprits. But people don't champion these ideas because they're too complicated. It's easier to go down with socialism, give the insurance companies money blindly, do not change our system whatsoever, and don't you dare touch Medicare. You know, and I remember 60 Minutes covering Medicare, talking about all the corruption. It's just rampant with corruption. So much of the money is stolen, probably still today, and yet their overhead's only 3%. You know, with all the corruption, they still only have an overhead of 3% compared to insurance companies, which is 30%. And I heard on Oberman only 2 days ago that half of all the expenditures in healthcare contracts through the government are subsidies. So I don't even know what the total of that is. I have to go back and figure out. It was just the last couple of days they had a guy on there saying this, and it's total madness to understand. It's all just given away freely to thieves who pay these demon bribes to continue on the charade, to pretend that you don't want to operate the system for our benefits to treat ourselves equitably. No, we want to be cheated and lied to and thieved from. You know, like with all millions of, or more than a million people have lost their homes through criminal fraud with the subprime mortgage scams. I don't know of any of them being arrested. And these are soldier families. They would target, as was reported on MSNBC, they target specifically soldier families because they know that these are the weaker elements of our society who have a very difficult time speaking. And this is maybe why they're attracted to the military profession, where they're not forced to face the complexities of life in our universe and would rather be told what to do and what to think.
Hey, Mike. Sounding good. Show's great. You know, this torture thing, in my mind, the forces that promote this form of barbarity are the actual perpetrators trying to escape apprehension for the crimes they're for sure guilty of. You know, if you've got no evidence against the accused, he's an innocent man. I don't care how many times you've tortured him to say otherwise. How, for example, did he get the explosives into, the towers? Because we have video of liquefied iron flowing like water. By the tons and tons of liquefied iron flowing from the tower on video. How did they get the explosives into the tower to have them fall in the manner that they did, that just captured widely on video? They don't want those kind of questions answered because it ultimately leads to those who are truly responsible. And you know, the guy who tortured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is Kofor Black. He's not a police officer, doesn't hold any government office, and he admits to torturing him unmercilessly for years. Kofor Black does. You know, I've advocated his arrest under American law, and you give him a lawyer, he gets to go in the court, our public courts, and be formally charged for the crimes he's already confessed himself guilty of. And under American law, the War Crimes Act, I hate to scare you people, but it warrants the death penalty because you've tortured an innocent man who you have no evidence against. And so it's like what you're saying. You know, like I can hear, I don't know if it's necessarily frustration, but I'm just looking for the right word. You know, and rightly so, you know, you're telling people, look, these guys, it doesn't matter, they're being tortured. And I'm trying to get people too, just as you're doing also, but to realize, who is the opposition here? Who are we trying to convince these are tyrannical evildoers undermining our freedoms universally? There's not too many people. It's generally really evil people who would argue against us. And where are their voices? You know, they're not present. So I think our solution to a lot of these big problems is just international recognition of that exact relationship. Like, say it was on CNN. You go, look, does anybody disagree here that Bush closed investigations on 9/11 immediately, according to the FBI and Senator Daschle, after the terrorist act occurred? Does anybody disagree with that? Because we've got FBI officers say that's exactly what happened, and Senator Daschle, the head of the Democratic Party at that time, when he was interviewed on Tim Russert's Meet the Press, said that that's exactly what he did. Well, he doesn't want to apprehend the real evildoers? Yeah, that's correct. And he says if we disagree with him, as he gave his philosophy, we'd all be terrorists. So he said, if you try to form your own mind and not be with him blindly, you're a terrorist. Well, that would be incorrect. You know, so I think reason will triumph, and as a consequence, we'll learn that justice is freedom. And freedom to think these things freely will bring us to some sort of consensus on what would be a good action to defend ourselves. I say if they have no evidence against these individuals, they need to be freed immediately. I don't care what they say they've confessed under torture. You know, like, and are you aware, Michael, that a lot of these guys at Guantanamo, as confessed by those who participated in this, were just randomly kidnapped off the deserts in Afghanistan? And because
I reported on that earlier.
Oh, okay. I haven't listened all the way through, but yeah, like that.
This is the frustration here is because the reason that these people are continually being detained, these innocent men that are being tortured every day, is because they cannot afford to let these stories out. Like I mentioned earlier, by this Binyam who was arrested, tortured for years, he was finally let go, but his story came out, and all of these guys, hundreds of these guys, thousands of them, Bagram, Guantanamo Bay, Abu Ghraib,
Yeah.
Okay, they all have this. All of these. Now, there may be a few that have been insurgents that have picked up a rifle because we invaded their country. But the bottom line is that they weren't with Al Qaeda. Okay, they didn't blow up any buildings, for crying out loud. But the powers that be, John, are the ones that are terrified. They can't let these people out because if they let them out, the truth is going to come out. And henceforth, people like you, people like me, I want the public to know that it's not these guys that are the criminals. The criminals are the ones that are perpetrating this terror on these guys.
Yeah, being lawless, not obeying the principles of justice to defend ourselves truly. If we, like I say, like it sounds like I'm being facetious perhaps or really a bit silly, but it's a serious thing. It goes back to the Magna Carta. You know, if you have no evidence, the person's innocent. You know, and Hammurabi, the founder of civilization, says, you know, those who disagree with that, who make false allegations, will be immediately executed. And he founded civilization. That was his number one first law, the first law of civilization. People who make false allegations are truly our enemies because they're undermining everything. Because uncertainty is a property of consciousness, and there's no absolute certainty on anything. Life is like that. So you have to have evidence. You have to follow probable cause. These guys say we don't want to do that because, of course, as you say, like these guys are guilty, man. Similarly with the banks. I mean, we're bailing out trillionaires? That's nuts. That makes no sense. But why is it that the TV keeps telling us we're confused on the matter, or there's a dividing line here? There's a lot of people who say it's a good idea, and a lot of people who say it's not. It's like Kucinich. Kucinich just put a bill forward. It says, it's a simple bill. It just says the Federal Reserve will be held to account by the American public. They have to disclose what they're doing with your money, your American currency. Your blood is what it truly is. The currency represents your blood, sweat, and tears. And now, how could anybody in government oppose that? But apparently, as I heard earlier on GCN, apparently that's the case. Nobody wants to support that. What? You don't want to support, you know, what kind of politician would that be? Is it a person who supports freedom in America? I don't think so.
It's a politician that has something to hide. It's a politician that if they do support it and it went through, it would expose their facade. It would expose their scam.
Yeah.
Okay, they can't afford to let that happen, which is part of the reason why they're continually detaining these guys and most likely will never let them go.
And
they can't let them go.
And that's
right, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, John, thanks for the call. Excellent points. Really appreciate the call.
Right.
And I want to